Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Policy and Legacy Finance Committee. Today is Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. It is approximately 1 p.m. This morning, we have Senate File 3392 on the agenda. Senator Weber, the chair is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And today we will be, as Senator Rood said, we will be dealing with Senate File 3392. Senator Rood has a delete all amendment. And would you care to move that amendment, Senator Rood?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
The delete all amendment has been moved by the chair in order to have the bill in the form in which she wishes it to be. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. Senator Rood, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is something we've been wanting to do and working on for a very long time. We are the land of 10,000 lakes, and we have more than 830,000 registered boats in the state of Minnesota. That's the first in the nation per capita. And recreational boating, as you know, is at an all-time high. During COVID, people were loving our lakes a lot because they were able to be outside in the environment. We had 415,000 first-time boaters in 2020, but it was also a and 2021 was a very deadly year for Minnesotans on the water. And we had the highest death count in decades. Every other recreational product in the state of Minnesota, snowmobiles, off-road vehicles, ATVs, off-highway motorcycles, they've all put education requirements and safety training in place. And hunters additionally have to go through education and safety training as well. So Minnesota is one of only a handful of states that does not require boater education. So what we're doing today is, this is a nationally recognized online course so that Minnesota boaters can have reciprocity boating in other states. And it's time to put this in place and keep Minnesotans safe. This bill has an incredible support of an incredible line of stakeholders, and many of them have come here today to testify. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it over to my testifiers.
Thank you, Senator Rood. The first two testifiers are in person. They will be Ms. Sims and Mr. Witczek. If you would come to the table, testifiers table, please. Yeah, either one, yeah. Is Jeremy Witczek in the room? Oh, very good. Yeah, please come forward. Welcome, Ms. Sims. Please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. Jill Sims with the National Marine Manufacturers Association. Thank you, Chair Rood and members of the committee, for the opportunity to encourage you to support SF 3392. I represent the National Marine Manufacturers Association, which is the leading trade association for the recreational boating industry. We have over 1,300 members across the United States, made up of boat, engine, and marine accessory manufacturers, including many Minnesota brands that boaters know and love. It should come as no surprise that Minnesotans prefer to spend their time out on the water. It's our way of life in the warmer months. In fact, we love boating so much, Minnesota continually leads the way by ranking number two for boat registrations in the country with over 825,000 boats. However, where Minnesota is falling behind is in boater education and safety training. Of the top 10 boating states by registration, ranked by Florida, Minnesota, Michigan, California, Wisconsin, Ohio, Texas, South Carolina, New York, and North Carolina, Minnesota is the only state that does not require boater education, and that extends beyond youth. In fact, over 40 states have boater education requirements to keep all users safe on the water. As we continue to see significant growth in boating and fishing, we believe it is our responsibility to look out for our community and establish safety standards and procedures so that everyone can enjoy the waters in a responsible manner for years to come. The boating industry has a long history of taking comprehensive approaches to safety, including making boat design safer through improved and standardized technologies, educating boaters so that they are equipped with best practices and can adapt to a variety of situations, and advocating for state and federal policies that put boater safety first. Today, we are proud to work with a coalition of stakeholders that including the Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates, MNCOLA, law enforcement, and marine businesses to support the effort to establish a boater safety program for all. This bill will better align the boating with other, this bill will better align boating with other recreational products in Minnesota by creating an accessible education course for boaters. Furthermore, it will be an opportunity to deliver key messages tailored to those using our waters, in addition to creating further awareness and spread messages on important issues like the threat of aquatic invasive species. As outdoor recreation is at an all-time high, the time is now to implement boater education to ensure safe operators on the water and that operators are the best steward of the resource. Thank you for your consideration, and we encourage you to support SF 3392.
Thank you, Ms. Sims. Next, let's turn to Mr. Wisak from Nisswa Marine. Please identify yourself and you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator and Committee. Jeremy Wiechek with Nisswa Marine. Good afternoon. I am the sales manager at Nisswa Marine, located in Nisswa, Minnesota. With over 18 years of experience in the boating industry, I have seen firsthand the increase of boaters on our Minnesota waters. I am testifying today in full support of SF 3392 and urge that the committee pass the bill, as now, more than ever, we need safe and educated boaters on Minnesota lakes and rivers. Boating in Minnesota is a way of life and one of our state's favorite pastimes. Our state has the second largest number of registered watercrafts in the country, second only to Florida, with more than 825,000 boats on Minnesota waters. Furthermore, we've seen with the COVID-19 pandemic, this drove a massive increase in Minnesotans who wanted to get out on the water, with boat sales seeing a 30% increase in 2020 and 21. Now, with more first-time boaters on the water, more than ever, we need boater education. While us at Nisswa Marine and many other dealers throughout the state take the time to walk our customers through how to operate their vessels safely and properly, unfortunately, this is not always commonplace. During the height of the season, dealers are busy selling vessels, doing service, or many other requirements to operate a small business. For that reason, a Minnesota-specific boater education program will go a long ways in keeping our boaters safe. Currently, 36 states do require the mandatory boater education. However, Minnesota only requires youth ages 12 to 17 to complete a watercraft safety course. Boater education is a proven method to create a safer boating community and minimize user conflicts on the water. According to the United States Coast Guard 2020 recreational boating stats, 77% of all boating deaths occurred on boats where the operator did not receive boater safety instruction, while only 12% occurred on vessels where the operator had received nationally approved boating safety education certificate. Furthermore, United States Coast Guard strategic plan of the National Boating Safety Program number one recommendation to improve the on-water safety was to improve recreational boating education, training, and outreach, which this bill is poised to do. Marine dealers stand behind SF 3392 as it is a piece of common sense legislation that will only improve the fabric of Minnesota's boating community by putting safer operators on the water and behind the wheel. I thank you for your time today, and I hope the committee passes SF 3392.
Thank you, Mr. Wiechek. Next, we'll be turning to an online testifier, Mr. Gabriel Yabor. In the meantime, while he is speaking, would Mr. Block and Mr. Carlson come to the testifiers table? And if we have questions for the testifiers, we will entertain them after everyone has completed their testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Member of Committee, Senator Rood, trying to break away from my pre-prepared statement so I don't repeat what has been said already. My name is Gabriel Jabour. I live in the city of Warner, which is 35% of Lake Minnetonka. I lived there for 50 years, 50, and I've been a strong proponent on working with the community. I served for all positions available to the city, from planning commission, volunteer position, to became its mayor. In the last 30 years ago, I started acquiring some marinas. I own four marinas on Minnetonka and a small boat manufacturer in Ohio. It's never been more important than today to see those changes to occur, as Senator Rood eloquently stated my case. It is imperative that we try to do something to prevent all the chaos that occurred, particularly on Minnetonka. One thing the committee should be aware of and pass it on is the person who purchased the boat very often is not the person who's driving the boat. Parents who are affluent in my community buy several boats and their children and their children's friends drive the boats. I, a strong proponent of helping the law enforcement, and I've always been available to help the water patrol. And I see a captain is gonna be testifying. I could assure you that the accident had gotten a lot worse, a lot more frequent, and this bill is really far past due, and not trying to blame anybody. I'm trying to really, really urge you. It's very rarely that all interests align, from lakeshore homeowners to lakeshore associations to conservation district to watershed district to boat manufacturing or boat retailing. It's pretty much like the eclipse. And I really love to see that partnership continue on, but this is the start of the partnership to see if we can all get together, A, to preserve lives, B, to preserve resources for the future of our grandchildren. Thank you so much for allowing me to address your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Yabur. Next, we will turn, I misspoke. Mr. Adam Block with the DNR is going to be testifying online. Mr. Block, please identify yourself and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Adam Block, State Boating Law Administrator with the DNR. Since the 1990s, Minnesota has required youth requirements for the operation of watercraft. The landscape regarding watercraft has changed dramatically here in Minnesota, just like it has across the country. Other testifiers have indicated that most of the country has moved to expanding adult education when it comes to watercraft requirements. The DNR supports these efforts, knowing that this bill will make our waters more enjoyable and more safer for all involved. In the last 2 years, Minnesota has seen an increase in over 16,000 motorized vessels in Minnesota. We all have experienced what that does to our waters, our public accesses, and this bill is going to help further enhance the opportunity of everybody who visits our lakes. Last year, we had 18 boating fatalities. Of those fatalities, over half of those fatalities were of the age of 40 or younger. So we are trying to, with this bill, we are trying to address the users who we have observed through law enforcement out in the waters that could benefit from getting this education, in hopes that they will continue to be able to enjoy the water for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Next, we will turn to Joel Carlson. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Carlson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I have long represented the community of Minnesota Resorts, I think going back to about 1997. And we appreciate the bill that's before you today. We absolutely promote safety among our guests. We appreciate the education components that we do right now and that would be included in this bill. And we also recognize that tourism is an important aspect of our state's economy. And the advocates have approached us about this bill, and we appreciate their acknowledgement of making sure that we don't negatively impact tourism with the draft of the bill. And I believe Senator Rood has accomplished that in many respects. I just have a couple of brief comments, partly to create a record, because a couple things may be unclear. And so I'll just go through them on the bill, Mr. Chairman, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions. The first comment that I would make is on page one of the bill, as it relates to exempt operators. And they have gone to great lengths to make sure that non-Minnesotans are exempt from this, but we want them to get training in their own state. We don't want to put, and the bill doesn't require, we don't want to put resort operators in the business of being experts on the law in other, every other 49 state. We don't require, the bill doesn't require them to verify that they have a certificate from the other state. It just says that if, you know, if you have a guest who's from another state, if they comply with their requirements, that's satisfactory so that you can rent the boat to them. And we think that's appropriate. There's a distinction between U.S. residents and Canadians. And while we can take the word for our U.S. citizens, we require Canadians to show us a pleasure craft operator card. And I don't know why there's a distinction there. And I raised that with Senator Rood yesterday. I don't know if we are less trustful of them if we have a Canadian guest, but there's a distinction there that I think we should look at. And we're just treating everyone the same. We do get guests that are not just from the US and Canada. And so that does raise the question about guests from other countries as well. As it relates to the motorboat rental business on lines 1.28, we treat them all alike. And we're not objecting to that, but you need to know a lot of the members that are in our organization and small resorts across the state rent out 14-foot Lunds with a 15-horsepower motor. We are treating everyone the same in this bill as a motorboat rental business. I'm not objecting to that. I think we maybe want to think about that. Does the guy who just rents out a small fishing boat, is he treated the same as my friend, Mr. Jabor, the marina operators who I also represent? And so do we treat them all the same? And I'm not sure that's a bad thing, but I raised that point because we do have resorts that are very small boat rental operations, and they have these same obligations and requirements, and that will be relevant when we talk about the examination that I want to briefly mention at the end of my comments. Mr. Chairman and members, on page 3, on line 3.13, I appreciate, understand, and support the concept of accompanying operators as it relates to 169A.20, which is our impaired driving while intoxicated statute. I think we can make that language a little cleaner because you could have someone who is an accompanying operator as defined in the bill, who's on a motorboat with an adult operator, and I'm thinking of someone who's 18 years of age or older, who may be intoxicated, and that's their right to do so, but they may be deemed an actual operator with this language. And I mentioned this to Senator Rood, that we want to make sure we're linking up the ages of the accompanying operator and an actual operator. This doesn't say on 3.14 a youth operator. And so we just have a distinction there that I think we need to be careful about, so that people who are just on a pontoon having a good time do not all of a sudden have a law enforcement problem because they are an accompanying operator. Lastly, Mr. Chair and members, on lines 3.27, it talks about every motorboat operator providing the leasee, the renter, a short examination. And we don't know what the form of that's gonna be. I've done these in other states, and so I kind of think I know where they're headed with this. But what is the obligation of the tourism business for that examination? Is it a video display? Is it a written test? Do they keep records of it? Do they have to send it in and verify it? Those are not really defined yet in the bill, and we just want to make sure that they are done appropriately and in an easy way for people to comply with, but that they're not burdensome or require additional equipment, time, expense. When it's Saturday and it's check-in day and you're having your guests come in and you're turning over 30 cabins, trying to get all of this paperwork done and an examination now for being able to use your boat that's tied up to the dock, is something that we we can handle. We just need to know what those obligations are. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, members, happy to answer questions, and we appreciate being involved in this discussion. And you, many of you probably got an invitation for the Resorter Day on the Hill coming up next week, March 8th and 9th, and we'd love to talk with you then about this and other issues as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Senator Rood, is there any comments you wish to make in regards to the statements from Mr. Carlson at this point?
Mr. Chair, I think we're all happy to work towards any language changes that we need to make with, you know, and we're really glad for the input from the resorts.
Very good. Thank you. With that, we will then turn. We have a series of individuals who will be testifying remotely. We will first turn to Captain Shane Magnuson, Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. Welcome, Captain Magnuson. Please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed when ready. We can't hear you, Captain Magnuson.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
I apologize.
No problem.
Thank you, Chair Rood, members of the committee. My name is Shane Magnuson. I'm a captain with Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. I've been with the Sheriff's Office for over 22 years. I am currently in charge of all uniform enforcement, including water patrol. I am here as a law enforcement officer and as a deputy who spent many of those years responding to boating accidents. I am here today to support the Minnesota Voters Education Bill. I have seen the outcome when boaters do not have basic boating knowledge. I've had to share with families that their loved one is gone, and we know some of these accidents were preventable. I believe that education is the vehicle that will create a safer and more enjoyable lakes and rivers. A water safety education program that focuses on local issues and safety will make our Minnesota waters safer and more enjoyable for everyone. There is required education for cars, snowmobiles, and ATVs. Boats are less intuitive to operate. This fact becomes very evident in just a couple hours on a busy lake. On a daily basis, deputies and conservation officers see people who do not have basic boat operation knowledge. Boaters coming in too fast to a dock, not knowing right-of-way laws, or not even having the proper safety equipment on their boat are just a few examples. The most significant reason for boating education is preventing fatalities, but we must also consider quality of time spent on our waters and the ability to share our water with all user types. There are competing interests with different user types, towed sports versus paddle sports versus fishing and other activities. Teaching basic etiquette can help everyone enjoy their time on the water. For example, if we understand how to reduce waves when picking up a wakeboarder or understand how speed and distance from others affect paddle sports operators, we can make time on water more enjoyable for everyone. Most of my professional time on the water has been spent on Lake Minnetonka. This lake is very busy with many different lake users compared to other bodies of water. In 2021, a wakeboard association was formed by private citizens to provide boaters education. By the end of the summer, HCSO Water Patrol was receiving emails from homeowners on how much better wakeboard users had become regarding issues like noise and high wakes. This is a small sample of what effective education can do. This program provided a near immediate return for all lake users, not just wakeboarders. With this bill, you can give the DNR ability to mandate a class which will improve the quality and safety of our lakes for everyone. This bill addresses key issues that law enforcement encounters on the water. They born on date of July 1st, 1987, we will reach people that we are most likely to deal with in a law enforcement capacity. A phased-in approach gives time for everyone to get licensed. Clarification of what a youth operator is by having one consistent age for all watercraft, rental requirements to make sure all operators understand basic rules. I've never heard anyone make the argument that less education is better. We want to give Minnesotans the best chance of making our waters safe and enjoyable for all users. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Captain Magnuson. Next, we proceed to Mr. Jordan Winberg of Goodhue County Sheriff's Office. Please identify yourself and you may proceed when ready.
Hello, my name is Jordan Winberg from the Goodhue County Sheriff's Office. I'm currently a sergeant with the Goodhue County Sheriff's Office on their Water Patrol Division. The reason I'm speaking to all of you this afternoon is to provide my professional perspective on the importance of boater education from a law enforcement official. I strongly believe it is imperative for the state of Minnesota to require individuals to complete a boater educational course prior to entering and accessing our waterways. It should be noted that the state of Minnesota requires all individuals to attend specific educational courses in order to operate snowmobiles, ATVs, and motor vehicles. In my professional opinion, operating a boat is different, but no different than operating a motor vehicle, ATV, or snowmobile, and an educational course should be required to operate a boat on our waterways. Through receiving a boater certification upon completion of this course, not only would it promote safety to all boaters accessing our waterways, but it could also prevent community members from being put at risk of harm. Additionally, this course would emphasize the importance of abiding by all rules, regulations of operating a boat properly. Since this course is not currently required by the state of Minnesota, individuals who are operating boats either conduct their own research on rules and regulations of the waterway that they are accessing and or are made aware of these regulations after having contact with a law enforcement official. Lastly, by attending this an educational course, boaters would gain knowledge on how to utilize and have the proper safety equipment required, such as life jackets and et cetera. Throughout my 11 years of experience with the Water Patrol Division, I have frequently observed boaters that operate while disregarding the navigational rules on how to overtake a boat, how to avoid and pass commercial vessels, along with understanding who has the right of way when meeting with a boat at an angle. When individuals lack knowledge on these situations, it has resulted in dangerous situations for all involved. Furthermore, it is also crucial for boat operators to understand the differences between lakes and rivers. For example, while patrolling Mississippi River in Goodhue County, many of the individuals who I have contact with for violating the rules and regulations of operating a boat on the waterway have minimal understanding or awareness of navigational channel markers and simply entering a no-wake zone. It is imperative to have knowledge regarding the differences in these particular areas to avoid hazardous and dangerous situations. In conclusion, I strongly believe it is important for the state of Minnesota to require a certification from a boater educational course. In doing so, it would prevent the community from being put at risk for harm, along with emphasizing the importance of abiding by the rules and regulations of operating a boat safely on the waterways of Minnesota. Thank you for your time and consideration on this matter.
Thank you, Sheriff Winberg. We appreciate it. Next, we will turn to Jeff Forrester, Executive Director of Minnesota Lakes and Rivers. Mr. Forrester, please identify yourself and proceed when ready.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Forrester. I'm Executive Director of Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates. And I'd like to start by thanking Senator Rood for bringing forward 3392 and the many partners that helped work on this bill with Senator Rood to get it in shape for today's hearing, including Jill Sims, Matt Grun, Joe Schneider, Gabriel Jabor, and Minnesota DNR. It's very timely now. I mean, we've heard a lot about the safety aspects of this bill, and I think that's important. You know, user conflicts are also increasing, and I think that that's a key piece so that everybody can enjoy the lakes. There's also ecological impacts to lakes from boating if people boat inappropriately, too shallow a water or too close to shore. And we've got, you know, good information now coming out of the St. Anthony Falls lab on wake dynamics, and they're planning future phases to study prop thrust and wake action on shores. Which is, I think, a great way to inform a really good educational track. You know, I'm old enough to that when I started hunting, I didn't have to take gun safety training. And thank you, Senator Rood, for bringing up sort of the comparisons between that. You know, from that training, I think gun accidents have certainly decreased out in the field. But I've also noticed a shift in, as you know, sort of the ethic, where the hunters that I know, and certainly it's stressed in the training, learn basic ecology, populations and why the laws are in place to prevent overharvest and, different aspects of prairies or forest hunting and why these things are important. And they get a knowledge of the resource that I think is really beneficial. With, 300,000 lake home and cabin owners in the state and most of them owning boats, I think that you know, increasing their knowledge of the resource through a boater education training will have a significant impact on water quality as well. And I really like the AIS piece in it. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Mr. Forrester. And the final scheduled testifier is Joe Schneider, president of Minnesota COLA. Mr. Schneider, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and please proceed when ready.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Joe Schneider, and I am here representing the Minnesota Coalition of Lake Associations. We're a volunteer organization of a nonprofit volunteer organization that works to protect the public waters of Minnesota. Our organization is made up of coalitions of lake associations and river associations across the state, as well as many individual lake and river associations. In my role as president of MNCOLA, I'm here to encourage you to support this bill. Making Minnesota lakes and rivers safer is very important for MNCOLA members, and protecting the lakes from the negative ecological impacts is another critical area for MNCOLA. The proposed watercraft operator's license coupled with mandatory education can be a big step forward in addressing both of these intentions, the safety and the ecological impacts. Recently, we had the opportunity to partner with a few organizations who also believe a watercraft operator's license will make a big difference. And though we've not partnered before, we found we could all agree on this important issue and felt if we were locked at the hip, bringing our support to the legislature, we would speed its passage. Today, you've heard from a number of these organizations as well as others on the importance of moving this forward. The safety piece cannot be minimized. These rules of the road, or in this case, rules of the water, make boating safer for swimmers, stand-up paddleboarders, kayakers, canoers, sailors, anglers, tubers, skiers, wakeboarders, surfers, along with all the other people of all other ages who enjoy the water from a dock or from a shore. By addressing the aquatic invasive species in the education, we have the opportunity to help boaters understand the impacts these invaders have done to our public waters, and along with the best practices they should be using to help slow the spread of AIS. Great additional add to the AIS program. We're also looking to the education as an important step in helping to protect the shorelines and the lake beds from the powerful waves and downward thrust from propellers. Minnesota COLA was actively involved to help fund the recent study that Jeff Forrester spoke about at the St. Anthony Falls Laboratory at the U. And we hope that this groundbreaking research can help guide the best practices for boating. In a recent letter from our multi-organization coalition to the governor and copied to the environmental committee chairs, we stressed the need to have education consider all the users of our public waters. And as MNCOLA, we look forward to having the opportunity to work with the DNR on this important education. So with that, thank you for your time and attention today.
Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Before I turn to members, is there anyone else in the audience or online who wishes to testify concerning this bill? Seeing none, are there any comments or questions that you have at this point? Senator Herr.
Thank you, Mrs. Chair, and Senator Root. I just have one question. Is there an upfront cost to the DNR on this legislation?
We have an answer for you.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hurd, the new language of the bill is getting fiscal noted. So yes, I'm sure the bill does require the commissioner to set up a process for carrying out this language. So there will be a cost and probably a fee associated with it. And we'll have to get that when the fiscal note comes in and see how that works out.
Just a note, Senator Herr, this bill, as it leaves the committee today, would be headed to the Education Natural Resources Finance Committee, whereby they will have to deal with that issue.
Thank you.
Senator Lang.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple of questions, and it may be for Senator Ruder, it may be for the DNR. I noticed as we've been sitting here, I've been online shopping other states' versions of their training programs, and there are some states that require it, there's some states that encourage it, but they all use the same website. It's kind of the boater.ed, whatever it was. Is that the intention of the DNR to use something along those lines?
Mr. Block, are you available for that question? Senator Rood, do you know?
Senator Lang, the intent is to make it a program that is reciprocal for all the states, so we would probably be using much of the same information.
Fair enough.
Please proceed, Senator Lang. Yep.
So there is some, I'm curious about the verbiage on here, about the 25 horse young operator permit versus the 75 horse change. What's the reasoning? Can that be explained a little bit more in depth?
So, Mr. Stanley, do you have?
Mr. Chair, members, I'll let senators speak to the reasons various changes were made or not made. I can tell you that under current law, there is a exemption to the permitting requirement for young operators where a motorboat is less than 25 horsepower. And under this bill, that exemption would go away. And so that I can point you to the lines if you'd like, but that is that's something that would go away under this bill, that exemption.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I think the question, maybe I rephrase this, on line, I believe it starts 3.8, to 3.12. A young operator may operate a personal watercraft or any motorboat powered by a motor with factory rating of more than 75 horsepower. A young operator may operate a motorboat that is not a personal watercraft is powered by a motor with a factory rating of less than 75. So what's 75? If that's an industry question.
Mr. Chair, members, that 75 horsepower cutoff is in current law. And so this bill is, it looks like new language here, but that 75 horsepower cutoff is something that it's just being brought forward in this bill from current law in Chapter 86B.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Senator McGowan.
Just following up on that question, though, I think what I was curious about as well, does it go to the speed? Are we talking, it goes to the safety aspect. Is the 75 horsepower, has that's been determined at some point previously, it sounds like, because it's in Minnesota law already. We're just wondering about the purpose behind, what's the 75 represent?
Mr. Stanley?
Mr. Chair, members, I honestly would have to look into that. I don't know what kind of discussions were had when that was originally put into the statutes.
Any other questions or comments, members? Hearing none, we will turn to Senator Rood for final comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for all the stakeholders coming here today. I think we've seen that this is something that's really, the time has come to do this, and I think this bill is well thought out in doing that, and I know we have to go to the Finance Committee, and we'll have a fiscal note when we get there, so I'd appreciate your support.
And Senator Rood moves that Senate File 3392, as amended, be approved and sent to the Environment Finance Committee. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. The bill is approved and hereby re-referred. With that, unless there is anything else, Madam Chair, this committee will stand adjourned.